Christ, we have that oneness. We have that shepherd that who surpasses thousands of years of our own human natural knowledge. And B, it states, often we are conscious of these three parties within us, a positive party, a negative party, and a neutral party. Hence, there is the need for inward arbitration through Christ to settle the dispute within us. And C gives us the more practical matter. If we allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, the peace will settle all the disputes among us, and we shall have the peace with God vertically and the saints horizontally. And like in C1, it talks about through the arbitration of the peace of Christ, our problems are solved, and the friction between the saints disappears, and the church life is preserved in sweetness, and the new man is maintained in a practical way. And I feel like, you know, for everybody that was there out yesterday at Spruce Run, you know, I felt like we could clearly see that there was good blending, and we all joined together in the name of Christ, and we were all able to appreciate the body.
Amen.
We were all able to appreciate the glorious day that God has given us.
Amen.
And we were able to sing great songs of praise of Him.
Amen.
So I really appreciate the church life, and it personally also gave me a great break and helped me realize the world outside, you know, of the world, and get back to God.
Amen.
Yes, and so one thing I want to help emphasize is that we know in Roman numeral 1 we need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, right? And in order to get to Roman numeral 2, which states we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, I feel like if you're just reading the word on your own, it's hard to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You really need Christ to help interpret the word for you, to make it real to you. We need to pray before we even get to the word. Otherwise, we may not experience having the word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen.
And I also like A2. It talks about oneness being a necessary condition for God speaking,
right.
And we need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts.
Amen.
And if you can you guys read day 4, point B with me? We need to allow the word of the Lord to have the first place in us so that we may experience the functions of the word of God operating within us and ministering the riches of Christ into our being. And in B1, it states that the word of God enlightens, nourishes, and waters us to quench our thirst. And in 2, it states that the word of God strengthens, washes, and builds us up. And 3, the word of God completes, perfects, and edifies us by sanctifying us. So, and C, by allowing the word of God to inhabit us, we can become a proper human being, a God-man filled with Christ as the reality of the attributes of God. And day 5, Roman numeral 3 states we need to persevere in prayer. We need to make sure that we allow enough time that we can pray together.
Amen.
And to more inclusively enjoy Christ. And I really like A2. It says that we need to meet with God in the morning, so that to meet with God in the morning is not only to meet with Him early in the day, it is also to meet with God in a situation that's full of light. We should go to God alone without any persons, matters, or things to distract or occupy us. And you know, and I feel like this is a matter that's not as obvious to me, because first thing in the morning, you know, I think of all these other things, but I feel like that is the most clear time that, you know, before you start thinking about all these other things you have to do throughout the day, to keep your mind on God and start your day off right. And I feel like as soon as you have His presence throughout the day, you know, with what happens, you'll realize that, hey, you know what? You had God in your mind, and you should approach the situation differently. And And I really like, in particular, my favorite day was day six. We need to remain in the atmosphere of prayer by continually exercising our spirit. And if you guys can read D1 and 2 with me, we need to pray without ceasing, to persevere in prayer, keeping ourselves intimately connected to the Lord. And 2, even in the smallest details, we need to inquire of the Lord. And to do this is to persevere in prayer and thereby to live Christ. And the last Roman numeral states, as we are ruled by the peace of Christ, inhabited by the word of Christ, who persevering in prayer, he permeates and replaces us with himself until all our natural distinctions have been eliminated and we become the new man in reality. And personally, I can totally understand, like, if you guys have difficulty, because it's like sometimes I usually let the biggest details, you know, then I ask for God, or when, like, there's a biggest problem, I ask for God. But I really appreciate day six, because it tells you every, even the smallest detail should have Christ and God within it.
Yes.
And I think that point really stuck to me. Now I don't make up a reason like, oh, okay, this is a problem, but it's just a minor problem, I'm not going to ask for the Lord. But now I realize if I always have the Lord, even to the smallest detail, it makes everything else work out, no matter how small or big the problem will be. Yeah, so I would like to open it up to the Saint Sherry, and let's try to limit it with 2 minutes of sharing per person.
Amen.
And if you also want to, you know, stand up, and then, you know, when somebody else is speaking, you know, just, yeah, you can do that too, so we know who's going next.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I probably just give a testimony to prove, you know, what we brother just said. You know, uh-huh. Many small things we don't let the Lord to arbitrate. Uh-huh. You know, about a month ago, our dryer was broken, so, you know, Ping and I would just think, oh, the Memorial Day was coming, there will be a big sale, so we will wait until, you know, Memorial Day, and then we go online and search, and we decide to order a new dryer from Costco, and about a week after they deliver, and they told us we ordered the wrong one because we use gas, but we ordered the electric one.
Oh.
And then so we refund, and we right away order another one that's gas. And then 10 days after, they deliver again, and they told us, oh, you order one too big. This cannot be, you know, delivered into your basement. So I need to return it again. And then I think, oh, I need to order another one smaller. And at that time, I start to pray to the Lord. What happened to this? Something wrong is that you don't want me to buy or something then. And so the past Friday, I get online and I'm trying to order a new one. But I do pray to the Lord, if this is not something you want me to do, just give me some feeling. And so I start to type dryer. And then, you know, there's automatic, that kind of suggestion. And I saw on the bottom there's something called a repair. So I decided to type in drive repair and pop up. There's some, you know, local company doing that. I pick one and just call. And they just, you know, I call early afternoon, but they come in and done everything by 4:00. And I, of course, save time and save money, but, you know, it's just, I just, you know, I need to confess to the Lord. I don't, you know, let everything, the Lord can arbitrate.
That's right.
And I always react as an old man. You know, I always think in United States, the labor is so expensive. It's not worthy to get things repaired. You just buy a new one, it's even cheaper. But that's our own old concept. You know, and I really like this word, let. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, the law is ready right. to arbitrate in us, but we just don't let him.
Right.
You know, just like you know, right now it's World Cup, the game. You always have a referee. They're referees, right? They have the authority. They have a wisdom. They know how to judge, and our Lord know how to judge.
Right.
But we always don't let him.
Right.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just give out everything, small and big.
That's right.
Let the Lord arbitrate in us.
Amen. I'm gonna give another testimony too.
I'd like to give it, but this time it says in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things. It doesn't say a few things, it says all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Something like when I was coming from Florida, let me tell you, when I went to Peru, to see my mom who's sick, I had to fly there. I went for 6 days. My sister had to fly from New York also. So my other sister also was there. My brother was there. We had to be there because my mom was delicate. So, but when I arrived there, it was my sister from New York, my younger sister, my cousin was taking care of my mom. They were having a little struggling with a lot of opinion, how to take care of my mom. You know, they had their own way. My sister had their own way. My other sister have another way because she had experience with elderly. My cousin has her own way. And then when I arrived, they were having some kind of friction. I said, oh my goodness, I'm getting not involved in this. So I went there for 6 days, and I see them, everybody, giving their own ways to take care of my mom. I said to them, let's pray. Let's not do it like this. I hold hands with them, I pray. And it's like the Lord start arbitrating. They start arbitrating. Because they never hold themselves hands to pray together. Because one goes to another church, the other one the denomination. Oh my Lord Jesus. Well, anyway, so I left 6 days later, and they start praying together. And keep praying for my mom.
Praise the Lord.
Now my mom is eating. She's walking. My sister had to stay in Peru, one living here for a few months. They came care of her. And her heart had changed a lot, my sister's heart. And this wasn't good experience. But when I'm coming back to Pennsylvania, to New Year's, I came to New York, and I came back, and I had a little problem with my back. When I was right, I was lifting a lot of things back. So they gave me a wheelchair. It was comfortable. But then my flight's supposed to leave at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and it was in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, and my flight was going to leave actually like about 4 or 5 o'clock, but I need to go and get something. So I told one of the security guys, can I leave my bag in my chair? Can I go and get something? He said, that's fine. So I was not supposed to leave my bag in that chair, a small bag handbag. Mm. So I went to get something, and then I came back, it was gone.
Oh,
my bag was gone. And the guy who told me it's okay, he was gone. And I had somebody that was packing the bag that said, do you know anybody? Do you know about my bag? There was a bag there in the chair. Do you see anybody? Oh, I saw the police came.
Oh.
The police came and took something. I said, really? Yeah, you're not supposed to leave a bag alone. Mm. You know, they thought probably it was a bomb. So I'm asking everywhere. And I asked some security. They said, oh, they got to go to the police, the other building. And go over there to the other building, but they closed it. So it was almost like 12 o'clock, 12:15. I went there running. I took a bus, to take the shuttle, and I run, and they closed. I said, oh, Lord, I had to be in the plane by 1:30. And then I waited, knocked the door, nothing. I called nothing. Then came back again. I asked him, and then come back again. And then I said, Lord, and I have some value there. And I just said, Lord, it was my fault. I'm sorry. I know I should not leave. I knew I cannot leave things alone. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. So I said, I lost my bag. Because otherwise, they said, you had like $300 if they wanted to send it back to your house. And anyway, so I just prayed, and I said, Lord, oh, Lord, I need the things.
I had some bad books and all the things that actually I'm in my book too. And I said, oh Lord, well anyway, please pray. So I said, I went to the counter, I said to the airplane. And I said, I'm supposed to enter in the plane at 1:30. So I said, do you think I can go back? I said, try to get my bag. But it's in another building. They say, you know, you can't make it. But then the manager comes and said, the plane is delayed. The plane is delayed. Until what time? Oh, at 2 o'clock. Go and get your bag. So I went to the police. They opened. And I told the guy, I was praying for this. He said to me, yeah, the bag is here. Okay, just wait, give me a moment. He gave me the bag right away. And then I got the bag. It's just that, see, when we repent, we make a lot of mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes in my life. We're making a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. But you see, when we repent and say, Lord, forgive me, I made a mistake.
Amen.
I made a mistake. But you see, He acts. He will always, always find a way. We don't understand. There was a brother who wrote a book. He says, what is the book that says, what God does doesn't make any sense. Yes, doesn't make any sense. But He does things when we repent and ask for forgiveness. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, because He always there.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I also like to give a very short testimony. So it's a real like life, because my son, I try to kept him from watching TV too much. So one thing, finally, he kind of interested. He wanted to go fishing. So last year, we spent one day to get a fishing license. And that day, we went to do fishing, just try a little bit. Then that's it. We never have time to do it again. So yesterday, the church has an outing, so I say, here's a chance. I'll use my fishing license to do a fishing. So in the morning, I was reading this. But I won't pray for this fishing. I thought it was very easy, you know, just take him to fishing. But yesterday was good, actually. There's other brother and sister also wanted to fishing. So it actually turned out to be really not easy. We just first tried to find a spot, take some time. We walk there. Then the spot was not a fit. So just make a story short is, The real trial is when we finally try to find a spot. It was a docking place really under the sun. So after only a few minutes under the direct sun, I just found out I could not do it. I mean, my son still insisted he will do it, but I really can't do it. I was like, almost feel like, oh, I can't endure this sun, scorching sun. So it was not easy. And even my wife went there like only a few minutes, and suddenly, my son just threw the rod hit her face. Uh-oh. So then she got scared. Yeah, so but luckily, you know, my first daughter, she could endure the scorching sun, so she took care, you know, him and another little boy. So together for some minutes till they were satisfied. Oh, actually, we tried to let him, you know, we changed a different spot. We made him to do some swimming instead. So, but all at the end of the day, I just thank God. So even this is a very simple thing. I mean, next time we will try to find a spot which is more shady. But just say, the simple thing is you try to take somebody to fishing. It's not that easy. You know, for some people it may be very easy, but for, you know. But anyway, we praise the Lord. We just give everything, you know, in our prayer. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There's an example about the same, the relationship between the saints and the serving one. And because we know God's desire is to walk in the one man. But in reality, when we see the church life, we don't really see this this expression of the one man. The problem is because our natural man usually ruling in us. We don't really let Christ we don't really let Christ ruling in us. So this we don't have peace with one another. But in the message, you say we need to set our mind on the things above. When we see something, you know, we complain something about the church life, or we have some murmuring, complaining, or we don't want to participate in some kind of service, it just shows we are not one with the saints. So it's so important to say we need to set our mind on the things above. Amen. So that once again, we can experience the divine transmission, which give rise to the arbitrate peace of Christ. Only when we receive this divine transmission, then the peace of Christ will arbitrate in our heart. Another things I was taught is concerning the word of God building us richly. You know, if we have problem with the saints or anyone or even our family members, we feel we just don't have peace with the members, and the God's word just very hard to get into us. Even we want to enjoy God's strengthening, God's nourishing, or quench our thirst, we don't really touch those because we have problem in us. We are controlled by this old man. So we really need to, in order for this word to work in us, our heart is so important. We have to pay attention. We just need to really, every day, set our mind on the things above. That this divine transmission is working in us. And also the other things is concerning the persevering in prayer for the one new man. We do pray every day for many things for ourselves. We do need to pray for this one new man can be expressed in this earth. This is even the little things in the message. Even the little things we need to pray to God. We need to let God take care of the little things within us. We just don't want to do everything by ourselves. Let the middle spirit lead us. So when we do everything, when we speak or we act in the church life, we will live out of Christ, not our natural man.
I want to add, I forgot. Once the Lord arbitrated in our hearts in my country with my mom and my family, when I came to Florida and I was so anxious with my bag, I was getting very anxious. I said to the Lord, forget about it, Lord. It wasn't my fault. If it's gone, it's gone. I lost it. Forgive me. And that's what we had to do, you know, because anxiety was getting too much into me from my bag. It was a small bag. But the thing is this. We let anxiety get such, then forget. Sometimes the Lord will not do anything. We had to learn. But I said, I lost my bag. It's gone. That's mine. Then is when I prayed. I said, Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
Plane was never late, they told me.
Amen.
It was a rainy night.
Amen.
Amen. This week's message is centered around Colossians chapter 3. Right? Especially chapter 3, 15, 16. 17. I think these verses are written after this 3:10 when Paul talks about putting on a new man, which is being renewed unto the full knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Right? And it was talking about 3:11 was talking about that you know, there's no culture differences, right? No race differences. But Christ is all in all.
Amen.
So as I was reading, you know, this week's message, I just felt like this is really getting to the practical aspects of how to live out this one new man. Amen. Right? In fact, I really appreciate this the three aspects. You know, let the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and persevering in prayer. And all of this is for producing this one new man. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, on the day one it says arbitrate in Greek really means umpire, preside, or to be enthroned as a ruler and decider of everything. I think saints have shared, you know, the personal experiences of some of the testimonies of whether it's little decision or big decision, right? Little things, big things. We all let the Christ to have the first place, right? Amen. Let him be the decider. Amen. It's not saying that we don't need to fulfill our personal responsibility, but in fact, this is a way for us to grow into the head in everything. And I appreciate the fact that the message is mentioned. We have three parties within us, right? There is something positive, something negative, and something neutral. I think this three parties, we in our daily living, a lot of times we feel like they're actually, you know, quarreling or arguing with each other, right? Sometimes when a specific situation happens to us, whether this is in our family life or in our church life, this becomes very real. Right, because internally we have these three parties, our views of a particular situation. Sometimes when we're, you know, in maybe in a good mood, or when we're spiritually nourished, and we were, you know, and we may feel be in a positive realm, right? But sometimes when we're weak, or we're, you know, malnourished, in, you know, in a certain sense, I would say, maybe we're in a, you know, this negative attitude, right? And sometimes we could just be neutral. It's like, okay, I don't care, you know, right? And this is within us, right? And imagine when we put in the church life or in the family life where there are many individuals, each individual could be in these kind of three states, right? And they may not be in sync with each other. So, you know, and this argument or quarreling could, right, can be an outburst, right? Not just within us. It could be between the husband and wife, between, you know, parents and children, between the brothers and sisters. So we really need Christ. Amen. To be this umpire, to be this arbitrator. Yes. I think this becomes so real to us, right? Yes. Otherwise, you know, as Saint shared, you know, a lot of times we could have murmuring, we could have complaints, we could even arguments, right? You know, and you know, the result is not pretty. You know? So I really appreciate the fact that a lot of times we say, let the peace arbitrate in us. We kind of view it as a personal matter, as an individual matter, right? Whether I have peace, I don't have peace, I should do this, do that. But I think in here, Paul really, the focus is really on the corporate matter. Right. This is even before this verse, he talks about we need to forgive one another, right? We need to love one another, right? With a uniting bond of love, right? So we should really exercise our spirit, right? Because only in the spirit we can touch Christ. Amen. Because in our own being, right, in our natural being, this three party, you know, is really we're in a messed up situation, right? You know, even sometimes I say I'm in a positive situation. I may be having a positive attitude when I see another brother or another sister. Maybe they're like negative. You may start it, you know, started judging. Say, oh, why are you so negative, right? But remember, I could be in a negative situation sometimes, right? So in that kind of situation, you don't judge. The only way to resolve the conflict or resolve this kind of situation is all of us getting to, you know, be in the spirit, right? We come back to the Lord. Only then the peace of Christ can really becoming the arbitrating factor among us, right? So really we need to pray, you know, whenever there is certain situation come up, making us uncomfortable, making us feel like we need to blow up, we really need to come back to the Lord. Say, oh, Lord Jesus, you're the peace offering, Oh, I just want to lay my hands on you.
Amen.
There is really no other way. The only way for Christ to having the peace, you know, in our church life, for family life, is that we take the cross, right?
Amen.
We be one with Christ. In fact, taking a cross is not the something that we can do by ourselves. It's only when we're in the Spirit,
Amen.
Only when we turn to Christ, then the cross actually automatically works on us, right? Otherwise, you know, I remember Brother Ricky once made an illustration. He's saying, okay, if you want to, you know, put yourself on the cross, you can, you know, right? You can put a nail on your this hand, put a nail on your foot, on the other foot, and then you still have the other hand dangling. I remember that. It was a very good illustration, you know. You cannot put yourself onto a cross, right? Even just think about it, you know, visually, right? The only way is to be one with the crucified Christ.
Amen.
Just pray to Him. So for that to happen, I really appreciate the fact that we really need to dwell in His Word. Because a lot of time, we only His Word will give us light, right? His Word washes us. I appreciate that Kumar, you know, pointed out this three word, right? The effect of the Word, right? The Word enlightens us, nourishes us, right? And waters us to quench our thirst, right? And the Word strengthens us, washes and builds us up. And the Word completes, perfects, and edifies by sanctifying us. So saints, we really need to pray that the Word can dwell, can richly dwell in us.
Amen.
But in order to have, for that to happen, we first have to open to the Word. A lot of times we don't have the appetite even to open the Bible or open the ministry. So this is our situation, right? And you know, sometimes we just don't have the appetite. So we really have to come to the Lord to pray, right? So this is the sequence, right? The last one is to persevere in prayer. Because when we have a organic union with Christ, then we would be longing for His speaking.
Amen.
You know, if we don't pray, if we don't set aside our time to pray for Him, you know, I mean, all these things happening, I mean, just, you know, Satan is, I think in, recently we had this memorial conference, was talking about the spiritual warfare. Satan will always try to drag us back, you know. I mean, regardless whether we admit it or not, whether we realize it or not, you know, our default state is actually being, you know, is actually in the Satan's realm. So we really need to be persevering in prayer to get us out of that realm, to be in the realm of the Spirit, of the union with Christ. Then we would actually have a appetite for His Word. Then we would actually allow Him to preside in us, to rule in us for in every aspect of our living. Praise the Lord. May this new man be realized. Amen.
Amen. So we have the four Roman numerals. First, we need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts, right?
Amen.
And we need to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. Dwell as in to be, you know, to be inhabited, right? Someone, when you inhabit your house, it becomes your home. You change the furniture, you arrange everything the way that you like it. You have that liberty, right? And that is the, you know, when it says to dwell, that's what it means. And to what extent are we allowing that Word of Christ to dwell in us richly? Do we really allow the Lord, you know, to do these things in us? You know, sometimes we do, but not all the time. Do we give place to the Word of God? So in order for us to be able to do that, the next Roman numeral says to persevere in prayer. Because if we don't persevere in prayer, we're not going to let the Word of God,
right,
you know, dwell in us.
Right.
It may, we can read it and, you know, we'll be touched one day. I'll be touched by something and it'll be wonderful. But then, you know, afterwards, it'll just subside.
Right.
And and I'll be taken over again. So I was touched by this matter that only by persevering in prayer will we allow all the functions of the Word to take place. Right? That enlightening, that nourishing. We're strengthened by the Word. You know, this Word builds us up. We're completed and perfected. When a child is born, the child is complete in all its organs.
but in its function, it has to grow, right? So all of us, I think a lot of us are in that stage, you know, we're still growing. And then it edifies us, you know. In Spanish, the word for built up and the word for being edified are the same one. You know, edificio is a building to edify. So we don't have a built up and edify. You know, we only have one word for both. So realize that the edifying refers to our being built up with one another in the church, right? To be one. But the edifying here involves being built up individually, primarily in the matter of virtues. And I was touched that, you know, we all lack certain virtues. And so we may be short of patience, may be short of wisdom, humility, and kindness. And, you know, some of us are quick, some of us are not so quick. And these are the things that we are edified through the word. So that the more we let that word dwell in us, the more we have the virtues and the attributes of God, right? And then when we continue to pray, you know, we automatically become filled with the Lord. We become saturated. And then the differences are abolished. Then, you know, the new man can be manifested because the new man is already created,
right.
But it hasn't been brought forth in its practicality.
Right. Amen.
And I believe that the goal of this conference is to bring forth the new man in its practicality,
Amen.
In its manifestation.
Yes.
Because we, you know, it has not been manifested yet.
Right.
And so we're in there. So I realize that, I'm definitely not there yet, and so we really need to, you know, we need to persevere in prayer. There are so many things that happen every time we pray. Even we set times, but there's always something that happens.
Right.
You know, a phone call, a meeting, or you know, something. Mm-hmm. Something is always happening because it's really very difficult. You know, for prayer. One brother said in a conference, he said to us, you know, the Lord's table meeting is the most important meeting. It's a wonderful meeting that we shouldn't miss. It's for the Lord God lovers. The Lord's table is for the God lovers. But he said that the prayer meeting is for the Satan haters, you know, because you really, really have to have a hatred for Satan to even go to the prayer meeting, even, you know, be able to continuously go there.
Right.
The prayer meeting is the most difficult prayer to attend,
Amen.
To get there. And so, because that is the prayer meeting that defeats Satan. And even in our personal universe, our personal day, it's hard to pray. So may the Lord have mercy, you know, to really take us on so that the new man can be manifested in his praying.
Amen. Right.
I was really touched by day 3 on letting the word of Christ dwell in us spiritually. And I was just really touched on the matter of reading the word and not just reading it, but also letting it arbitrate your heart and dwell in us. And there was one example here about how a lot of saints, they like love the Bible and they read it daily, but sometimes it just remains outside of them, that it's just an empty word, and it doesn't replace our concepts, opinions, and philosophies. Like, we still have our same thinking after reading the word. And that's because we're not really open to have the word dwell in us richly. Like Sister Virginia's example about like to dwell somewhere, you make it your home and you do like whatever you want with your furniture and stuff. But like, do we really let the word of God dwell in our hearts like that? And so I'm reading Deuteronomy right now, and a lot of times like what I read, it kind of just, I guess, doesn't really affect my life after reading it. But the other day I was reading chapter 30, and I decided to pray read verses 19 and 20, and it was, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse, therefore choose life that you and your seed may live. And loving Jehovah your God by listening to his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. And that whole day I was just appreciating the fact the short phrase of listening to his voice and holding fast to him. And if we want to choose life, then we really need to listen to his voice and really hold him fast.
Amen.
So I was just appreciating how, like, reading the word, if we want to dwell on us, maybe we could, like, pre-read some verses or just go over some verses that we're touched by so that it could really stay with us throughout the day.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Not always in this special fellowship, the sister, I mean, Brother Peter, you brought some brothers from New York, so we had some fellowship in the brothers' room's house last night. So, you know, I was really touched by their testimony. Those younger brothers, they all have little kids. And 2 out of 4, they're like Uber drivers. So they can sort of have a little bit more flex schedule. But what they're fellowshipping was, really struck me was that they did a several perfecting training, and one of them is the Bible reading training. So they are like very strict, you know, they set up the schedule. So then if you sign up, you read like not just the three chapters of the Old Testament, one chapter of New Testament. That's daily, right? You also have to read the footnotes, and then you also memorize the verse. Then you also, on the top of that, they also give you questions. So you have to think of those, the answers. So once a week, they come together, and then you have to be ready for the take the test. And then there were some brothers that they will criticize your answer, you know, in a loving way. But, so anyway, so this whole process, so what happened is that, you know, it's really, that's the reality of let the word of Christ grow in you richly. So this one brother was fellowshipping, you know, like he was saying, during his free time while he was driving, the customers, when he didn't have to talk to the customers, he would think about this word he read. Right, and he would think about, okay, what's the proper answer for this question? So it's like a very, 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 very practical. So, of course, you know, when you have this word doing you richly, so when they come to the meeting, of course, you know, that's just the riches of Christ, you know, can be very, you know, easily to be manifested. And I just felt, we just follow the reading schedule. Reading schedule once a year, and then you know, we follow the life study reading schedule. But anyway, I just feel it's very difficult, you know, trying to have the word of Christ grow in you richly, because your mind can go, you know, 1,000 miles away. But again, this is our only salvation, you know. So I'm trying to practice, or, you know, Lord, you know, when I wake up, Lord, I want to give my heart to you. Lord, I want to let your word to dwell in me richly. You know, first thing I said, Lord, I have to think, practice how to set my mind, you know, on above. I mean, otherwise, you know, every little things, every big things that just, you know, will eat us up. But praise the Lord, we really have a way, right? Let his word, and also let the Christ of peace arbitrate in our hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the spirit in our prayers. That's really, really marvelous. The Lord gives us a way.
Yeah. Amen.
Although we fail again and again, the Lord is faithful, remind us again and again.
Right.
Every time when we read the morning revival, sometimes we have the feeling, oh, why this topic again? I have already read it before. But because we are still not there yet,
right.
Even we know it, but we still don't really put it in our practice in the daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord is faithful by repeating this, you know, command to us again and again. And I really appreciate this week's material, because day 5 and day 6 all covering for the prayer.
Right.
And this part is the weakest part of myself. Yeah, it's okay, you know, for reading the Bibles, reading the, you know, spiritual material is a little bit easier for me, because I have, you know, set schedule every day, and I read, especially the church have a schedule and I can follow. But for the prayer, it's kind of like flexible for me. Sometimes when I have some real need, I feel really worried and scared and anxious, I can pray. But sometimes when I'm
I'm okay, doing okay, and especially when I'm very busy and occupied by other things, the prayer time is kind of, you know, nothing for this day. So, but actually prayer is the most important part in our spiritual life. Even the persevere in prayer itself need our prayer to the Lord first. And I really appreciate one prayer in day five. Yeah, and this one I really appreciate. Brother Lee gave us an example. We need to say to him, Lord, I'm desperate about this. Mm-hmm. I offer myself to you so that I may have a prayer life.
Amen.
Lord, keep me in the spirit of prayer.
Amen.
If I forget this or neglect this, I know that you will not forget it.
Amen.
Remind me again and again about prayer. Yeah,
amen.
I think that's the definitely the prayer I need for my prayer life, because this is really, you know, important. Prayer is a fight. It's not like something you want to do and you will to do. It is something you have to do, because it's a fight. Without this fight, our Christian life won't be overcome. We can't be overcome at all. So, yeah, I really need to spend time for the Lord. Especially when we come to the Lord, we can't in a rush mode. We have to give Lord the first priority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even somebody knock the door or some the phone rings, we have to ignore it if we are in our prayer.
Amen.
So it really gave us a good example, like how to practice our prayer in our daily life.
Amen. I echo sister's sharing. I also was very touched, you know, this week by the prayer. Yes, you know, I think most of us already have a habit to set a time to, you know, read and to, you know, let His Word, you know, dwell in us. Many of us already have that. I myself have confessed for the and the persevere in prayer. I'm so short of. Yes, I do pray. Yes, I pray every day. But do I have a persevere kind of attitude in prayer? Of course, I'm not there yet. And when I was reading this, I saw this sentence saying, make a deal with the Lord concerning my prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, I really, you know, made a prayer. Lord, I don't have a lot of time in my life course. Okay, as you're getting older, you know your time is shorter. So I want to make a deal with you. My prayer is a set of time, and I'm very serious with you. Okay, whether it's pray for the little things or big things. The Lord is so faithful. Every time when I'm very serious in prayer, there's always a light, you know. Come to me, pray for the church need, for how we move as a whole entity, you know, moving forward.
Amen.
Lord, we can follow you, okay? The church direction is correct. The church direction is right. All the leading brothers are in the same spirit. That's very naturally come to me. Always pray for this. It's not just concerning what my need. Of course, I do have a lot of need too, right? But still, the Lord is going to, you know, shine to us.
Amen.
There is a lot of brothers and sisters around us. They also have their need, right? Some brothers, you know, struggle in their study. Some brothers, you know, they have need for their job. Some sisters, they have this situation, that situation. That all becomes so nature that, you know, becomes our burden. And we really, in one accord, pray for the body. So, you know, again, like, you know, Shilan said, the Lord is so faithful, keeps reminding us. Yes, this has been saying gazillion times, right? That the Word richly in the world in us, make our heart, you know, His home, right? This is, we've been reminded again and again, but come to the prayer. Lord, make me, you know, very serious in this matter.
Amen.
Lord, become a faithful prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else want to share?
Yes. As Christians, we are more complicated than unsaved people are. I would say that before we were saved, we're one in a way, because we can do whatever we want, and we're an individual. As after we're saved, and this is my experience, is exactly this, that suddenly there seems to be competing voices in us, and it's automatic. It's like we're not
thinking about it, it just happens. And then we try to kind of reason our way out of it. And, you know, my concept kind of before this was that, you know, one party is correct and the others are just myself. One party is the Lord speaking from the Spirit and such and such. But the emphasis on day one, I think, is on division. That so Satan is the adversary, and so he pits different parts of God's people, or even one person, within one person, against each other, because he's the adversary. And when there's no oneness, God doesn't speak. And so, as long as the enemy can keep us divided, we are not in peace, and if we're not in peace, we don't have the speaking of the Lord. And so the question in when we're divided, when we have multiple voices in our head, is not, you know, which one of these is correct, but rather letting Christ arbitrate. Because when we have Christ arbitrating, it's on a higher level than, you know, which of the voices is correct. And through that, we can have oneness and peace within ourselves, which leads to the Lord's Word being the Lord's Word dwelling in us. And so I was kind of thinking, you know, the title of this week's message has kind of three parts, and I was kind of thinking, you know, why three parts in one message? They don't seem to be, like one continuous thought. But actually, the idea of division and oneness is actually all throughout these three different topics. And so I kind of touched on the first one, allowing the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. That's dealing with the division within one person. And then letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Of course, that results from our having peace within ourselves, and also in terms of the church life. When you know, there's, I think in day three, it talks about the word of God builds us up as members of the church. We all need to be built up because we are peculiar. It is difficult for anyone to deal with us, much less to build us together. So with other believers, we are also divided until the Lord's Word. And so the second part is dealing with division among the body. And then the third topic, persevering in prayer for the one new man, deals with division between us and God. And so true prayer is only when we are one with God, and the enemy tries to frustrate that by dividing us. And so, first we have the dealing with division within ourselves, and then division among the body, and then with division with God. And so, that's kind of the flow of this week's message.
Amen.
Actually, this week's message, one phrase really touched me. It says, atmosphere of prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an atmosphere. I think that, you know, in my experience, for me, it's very difficult for me to, you know, to not answer a phone or to not get distracted. So actually, the best way for me is that I find a companion to pray together. Mm-hmm. Because if we want to persevere in prayer, actually that's a fight, right? Fight for the Lord. If we do it by ourselves, I have to say I fail a lot. But you know, when I set up a time to pray with the sisters, I rarely fail. You know, only if I have to work, then, you know, I tell the sister I'm really sorry, you know. And this past week,
when I saw sixth graders, they were baptized. Actually, I have been, you know, concerned about this for a few months already. Who are going to serve our sixth graders? I cannot do it by myself, but I really pray that the Lord will raise up some people, you know, to really have the burden to pray with them every day and to read with them every day. So I think I mentioned about this last in this past Thursday, you know, when I asked young people to find their companions. And Grace, she was sitting there, she did not have any companions. Then I said, okay, I'm reading with Barbara and Rebecca every day, so how about I call you? So on Monday, I was like, you know, she does not have a cell phone. I would just try to call her mom. And surprisingly, Grace was waiting there, you know, to pray together. So I we prayed together, you know, 10 minutes. And then the next day, you know, I tried again, and she was waiting again. But then this past Thursday, you know, some of you know that, you know, I had a terrible week. You know, I had to work from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night, not during the daytime. I really cannot, you know, call her. So I told Megan how I can call Grace. And then I think that, you know, I think we are sitting in this room. I really have this, you know, burden, or I don't know how to say it, because in the church life, if we don't pray with one another, there's no way we can coordinate. There's no way we can serve together, or there's no way we can build up together. So, you know, and here it says God is waiting for us, waiting for us to make a deal with Him, and waiting for us to start, to just, you know, just like today, I went to the young people's meeting. I just told them, you know, pick up the phone and, you know, pray with someone, fellowship with someone, and you will be very surprised. Everyone is open. Everyone has time. I guarantee you. If you just, you know, after the meeting, you just ask somebody, do you have time? Yes, we do. We do have time. We do have 5 minutes. We do have 10 minutes. Every day will be the best. So praise the Lord. I hope that the Lord will raise us up to cooperate with Him.
So this week's message is on the last portion of this general subject, right, where we saw the goal of the Lord's recovery is to bring forth the one new man. Why is this so important? It's because the one new man is what will bring the Lord back and will return this age. And so the past couple of weeks we've been covering topic by topic. And I think for this week is something, again, very experiential and taken from the book of Colossians. And just to point out, I think a lot of the saints are very brought it out, and I just want to highlight a few things. And that is, I think we all enjoyed very much the testimonies of the brothers and sisters when we could fully confess that the peace of Christ is real, right? This one who is living in us, he's presiding over us. And actually, and I appreciate it as it was brought out, I also was struck by this word let. Actually, I don't know if you noticed, the word let is before verse 2 and also verse 3, right? So, peace of Christ is there. He's ready. He's ready, like the umpire, right? Ready. But we need to let. So, this denotes that we need to cooperate. We need to allow Him, right? We need to allow Him to arbitrate in our hearts. We need to allow Him as the Word to dwell in us richly. And so it's not something that is just comes about instantaneously, but it requires our human cooperation. But what I was also struck by, and this was again brought out, I just highlighted again, you know, this matter of this peace, this is something that is not an individualistic experience, right? You know, in Philippians, it also talks about peace, right? It talks about us not being anxious, right? But we need to experience the peace of Christ. And I would say that in Philippians maybe is something more personal. But when we consider this matter of peace in Colossians, we need to realize this is in the context of the one new man, right? And so that means in our corporate living, right, in our church life, we need to allow this peace to arbitrate, right? So in our relationships, right, between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, right, many times things come up, right? And again, there's someone within us, right? There's this feeling, right? We need to give him the final ruling. And I think, you know, we've experienced this many, many times. For example, sometimes maybe we're writing an email, right? We're about to send a text. We're about to post something on Instagram. And right away, there's a feeling, maybe not, right? Maybe I shouldn't include that last sentence, right? Why? Because we're in the body, right? We don't want to stumble one another. We don't want to do anything in a way that would hinder the fellowship between one another. We're about to serve next week on food, right? There's going to be a lot of coordination. Should we buy this? Should we buy that? Should we choose this brand? Should we choose that brand? What are we going to do, right? We need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts, right? In this way, the one new man could come forth. But I think all of this is in the context of prayer. And I think this is why Paul uses this this word persevere, because how can we experience the peace of Christ? How can we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? It's all together by prayer, right? And I think we touched both the personal prayer and also the corporate prayer. But I just want to mention this is, and I think we realized in the Memorial Day conference, we again come across this topic, that prayer is definitely in the realm of warfare, right? Actually, again, this matter of persevere. Why do we need to persevere? It's because everything in the world, everything within us is against prayer. It's contradictory to prayer. Satan doesn't want us to pray because he realizes through prayer the one new man gets brought forth. Then his time is up, right? And so he will do whatever he can to frustrate our prayer. Right, and so this is why even we see, right, in Matthew, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord told the disciples, you need to pray with me, right? But the disciples, they were weak, right? And they fell asleep. And then we know, actually, then the Lord says something that is very helpful, right? The flesh, it's weak, but the spirit is always willing, right? And so we need to exercise our spirit. Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to myself and all of us. We need to exercise our spirit when it comes to prayer, right? This is something that is against us, but we need to persevere, right? And then finally, I was really touched by this. You know, if we are really serious about prayer, and I think, you know, a couple of the saints mentioned this. I think it would be good if we could end this prophesying meeting. Maybe we could flip to day 5, page 87, and let's pray this to the Lord, making a deal with him, right? I think all of us, we have a desire, but really it starts with this. It starts with us consecrating. And then the second step is we need to set a definite time. And practically speaking, for me, it's always helpful to, you know, in these days with devices, is you set a timer or a reminder, right? Noontime, set a reminder. It's time to pray, right? And I think we could be helped, right, to have these consistent, definite times of prayer. But let's how about we read? I think you know where I am. The second paragraph in page 87. Let's read this all together. We need to say to him, Lord, I am desperate about this. I offer myself to you so that I may have a prayer life. Lord, keep me in the spirit of prayer. If I forget this or neglect this, I know that you will not forget it. Remind me again and again about prayer. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we are desperate about this.
Amen.
We'd like to offer ourselves to you again.
Amen.
That we may have this prayer life.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, keep us all in the spirit of prayer.
Amen.
Oh, if we forget this or neglect this, Lord,
Amen.
I know you will not forget it.
Amen.
Remind us this week,
Amen.
Again and again, about prayer.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord, I'm desperate about this.
Amen.
I offer myself to you so that it may have a prayer life.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
This week.
Amen.
Man of prayer.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord, in the spirit of prayer.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we give this week to you.
Amen.
Oh Lord, help us and remind us.
Amen.
To have a prayer life.
Amen.
So every day we set a time to pray.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we are so desperate about this.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, you are so faithful.
Amen.
Remind me again and again
Amen.
About this prayer.
Amen.
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 Lord, let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we want to remind us to be desperate about prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Strengthen us to remember your word.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Let not corrupt word proceed out of our mouth.
Amen.
Only that which is good for building up.
Yes.
According to the need, that it might give grace to those who hear.
Amen.
Be kind to one another.
Amen.
Tender-hearted, forgiving one another.
Amen.
Even as God in Christ also forgive us.
Amen.
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 Lord, remind us that we can't live without you.
Amen.
Remind us that only you can set us free.
Amen.
Remind us that we have nothing to be anxious in.
That's Amen. Right.
But by prayer, you can give us everything we need.
That's Amen. Right.
Amen.
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 Doing good. Thanks. So yeah. You know, are you here for like the summer research?
Well, yeah. The research never ends for me. Yeah. I was working in a lab till like 4 a.m. and realized I made a mistake. So
Yesterday.
I prepared every single sample except the one. One sample I needed. I had to watch three samples, but there was like one last sample that needed to complete the experiment. That's what really happened.
So if you look, you like, forget like a minor detail.
Yeah.
Take a sample from one.
That just screws up everything. Exactly. I was so mad because I thought I had prepared every sample. But one of them, you know, animals, one of them wasn't ready. Yeah.
About a week.
I should have.
Worms.
Worms. Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
So you can do one.
Yes.
So can you do it this time? And Omar will
show you. Okay. Do what part?
The lesson editor.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought someone else was supposed to do this with me.
Originally it was Kyle, but now. It's just great that John is back. So John is doing it. And this time.